Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris.
I've nearly forgot my own name then. having quite the evening. How are you, Bob?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you, Stephen. How about yourself, Bob?
Very good. You are a busy bee. You've been training to be a vaccinator, I've seen.
I am. So I've been training with St John's Ambulance to become a volunteer vaccinator. And I'm just so excited now to get out there into the vaccination centres and start getting as many vaccines in as many arms as possible.
Yeah. How did you get involved? Because, I mean, the pictures I can see, you're actually sticking a needle in someone's arm. So, you know, you've done a bit of training then and you're all ready to go.
So in that photo I posted on Instagram, it's like a block thing that when you're practicing and you're getting assessed on, okay. Just so you have to be passed as competent. But back when I got COVID, I just lay there thinking, what can I do, if anything, in terms of volunteering to help other people? Hmm. And then when I found out that St John's was doing this volunteer vaccinator scheme, I thought, well, doing injections is nothing new to me. Like, my mum had leukemia a few years ago and I was doing her injections for her every day. So that doesn't faze me. And what better time to get out there and put that skill to good use? Mm-hmm. I'm honestly just so excited. And I feel like, for me as well, I'm very conscious there's a lot of people out there that haven't seen anyone face to face since March.
Yeah.
So for them to come in, feel that they've got some interaction with someone, see people, and also have the feel-good feeling that they've had their first vaccination done. Mm-hmm. It just gives people light and hope.
Yeah, it's so good of you to take that up. And I think, everyone wants to do what they can, don't they, at the moment? And so you're actually going to be out there. We're seeing those figures go up every day, aren't we? That everyone's getting their first dose of the vaccine and, the numbers are coming down and things are starting to look good. And you're going to be part of the actual battle to do it. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like for me, to do my little bit, and there's so many different roles out there. So if anyone else is wanting to volunteer, not necessarily doing the vaccinations themselves, but in any form.
Yeah, you can be like an usher and things like that, can't you? Showing people around.
Yeah, so many different roles. So definitely go and check out St John's Ambulance website. Because honestly, like I say, there's so many things and I just feel like we are all in this together, as we always say, and anything you can do. And it's just nice to feel like you're doing something and helping people.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, actually, you saying this, I'm going to look into it myself and see if there's anywhere around near me that I can go and help, because, you know, we've got time on our hands at the moment, haven't we? And we may as well spend it doing something that helps. And yeah, well done you.
Thank you, babe.
But we did have some sad news on the COVID front today, didn't we? Sadly, we just found out that we lost Captain Sir Tom Moore, didn't we?
It's honestly so sad, the most devastating news. And I'm sure I speak for both of us that our thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends at this sad time. Like, he was such a legend in every sense of the word. Like, what he's achieved in the last year, and as a nation, the darkest year any of us have had. Mm-hmm. I think to see him, the most inspirational and just the most selfless man, mm-hmm. and just incredible. Like, if you look at what he has done since March, from singles raising £32 million, like, just legend. There's no other word for him. So just a very, very sad day.
Yeah, I was having a discussion with some colleagues who were saying, you know, if you get to 99 and what he managed to achieve in the last year of his life is pretty spectacular. You know, he raised £33 million for NHS charities, and number one single, book, autobiography, he had a fly pass, didn't he? A Spitfire fly pass. He's had a busy year, and you know, what an amazing way to top off. So I'm very sad that he succumbed to the disease that he was, you know, raising money to fight in a way. But the reports say that his family were with him at the time. And like you said, totally agree that our thoughts are with them and anyone that knows him. It's obviously, I wonder what's going to happen I imagine, although we can't have, you know, big funerals at the moment, I imagine that there's going to be quite a lot of attention on him, you know, and rightly so. So just definitely have to wait and see with that. But yeah, I mean, it's the real thing with this virus, isn't it? You know, there's vulnerable people are at risk, and you know, we've got to do all we can to protect them. And you're doing it, Bob. You're doing it. we did have some other good FUBAR related news. One of our co-presenters, Marcel Somerville, and Rebecca, his fiance, have welcomed their son Roman, which is great news. So congratulations to them.
Congrats, guys.
Apparently she had a 2-day labor though, which I think must be the most amazing thing.
Bless her heart.
You just can't, I can't imagine. My sister had a 4-day labor. I mean, good Lord. Like, she basically didn't sleep for 4 days. I can't imagine what it would be like to go sorry, our producer George is looking absolutely horrified in the background. This can happen, Georgia, so be careful. But it'd be great. Actually, I'd love to speak to Marcel if we can get him for one of our future shows, because I'm sure he's very busy and very tired for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I could imagine, as is she.
As is she, yeah. I mean, I don't imagine either of them are having a particularly easy time of it. But yeah, congrats to them. It's obviously really great news. And kind of, you know, the circle of life, isn't it? You know, literally the same time as someone passing away, you know, there's new life coming into the world, and that's the way of it, isn't it?
It really is. And I think with everything that's going on, we've been so consumed, and quite rightly so, because it's a global pandemic, but we're so used to just surviving, and I think that's the only way of putting it, day in, week in, month in, that you do almost zone out of life events. Yeah. Like you say, births and deaths, and it's very easy to kind of forget that life's still going on because we're in this weird bubble.
Yeah,
you kind of think, gosh, it's time is passing, life's going on, but in the most strangest situation and scenario. But
I had a colleague of mine who had a baby last year. She's just about to turn one. Was saying that she's like, when the restrictions are finally released and we can all go back to some semblance of normality, their kid's going to be like, whoa, what the hell is all this going on? Because they've basically just been inside, stuck, you know, for the last sort of a year nearly. So it's going to be insane for those babies coming out into the wild world. What is a car? Like, what is a plane? It's going to be
seeing clouds and sky.
And family members, you know, a lot of people won't have seen their grandparents and things like that. It's crazy.
So true. I think you're so right, actually. Like, babies and especially children as well, it's very hard to remember that for them this is now becoming their normality. And if you was a young kid at the moment and your life is now consumed with CBeebies, so they'd be like, right, now this is really life after it. Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
It's funny with like my nephews. I think, like, you know, well, they this time around they're going into school because my sister's a key worker. But first time around, she decided to keep them in because she was at home, whereas now she can't be at home. It's just bizarre to think that they had all this time off. You know, they basically had a 6-month long summer. I would have loved to have had that when I was a kid. I would have gone nuts for it. But for them, you know, it's like, it's actually quite serious, isn't it? Because, you know, you take them out of the education system and all that kind of stuff. It's the long-term consequence of everything that's happening at the moment. We won't know for years, I guess. And it's, crazy times.
Definitely, you can say that again, babe. Crazy.
we have some very exciting guests, speaking of crazy, coming up. We've got some brilliant guests this evening. We have the fabulous Katie Price, who I'm very much looking forward to talking to. And we also have the gorgeous Jess Impiazzi and the very handsome Ricky Guarnaccio from, I hope I've said his surname right, from ex-Geordie Shore star. So, looking forward to talking to them.
Fab show.
And actually, I believe Katie, who is a little bit of a friend of yours, isn't she, Bob, is here to talk now. So let's get her in.
Hello.
Hello, Bobby.
All right, Kate, how are you, babes?
Look at us both on the bed.
Yeah, well, what is this? What am I joining in here?
How are you, babe?
Oh, I'm good. You?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad, Kate.
How are you enjoying FUBAR? I remember doing it years ago.
I love it. I'm so glad it came at so the right time. In the first lockdown, I think I started, or maybe in between, I can't remember.
It's been a strange
though, yeah.
I loved it, but they were getting so many headlines out of it from me that I was like losing out because I talked so bloody much. Like, you just can't help it, can you?
This is it. It's right up our street.
Definitely. I love it. I miss it. It's good. But I'm glad you were both all right. How are you? Are you good?
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks so much for coming. Yeah, hi,
Katie. Georgia.
yeah, thanks so much for coming on, Katie. We really appreciate it. How have you been?
I've actually been good, actually, considering. Oh, I've been bloody good. I know it's COVID and it's shit in that way, but in this, you know, because I broke my feet in that last year, It's been good because everyone else was off, so I didn't miss out on anything. And don't know, really. And then I went to the private dinner beginning of the year, so last year ended up being a good year for me mentally and everything. So, and now I'm ready to smash it. And it's good. I quite like doing these at-home things, to be honest, on Zoom. It saves having to go to the studio, get stuck in traffic and stressing, even though you lot were probably stressing, like, where was she now? But there you go.
Kate, I've got to say, honestly, watching yours and Harvey's show the other evening, it was so emotional. I'm going to be honest. I actually had tears in my eye. Yeah, there was moments I was welling up. I found it so emotional. What's the feedback and reaction been like?
Well, this is the thing, because people like saying that, I'm like, really? So many people have said they cried. I'm like, well, what bit did you find emotional? I think because I live and breathe Harvey, to me, it's like, it's just normal. And like I said to Junior and Princess, are you going to watch it? And they went, well, why do I need to watch it? We know what Harvey's like. But then funny enough, last night, we was waiting for The Drowning to come on. It's this new show. Because we like dramas, what else is there to watch while you're in? And we put the telly on. I went, oh, look, there's a picture of me and Harv, like on the BBC catch-up. And Princess went, oh, I'll put it on for a bit. And I said, well, you can't do it for long because we're watching The Drowning. And she started watching. She's like, oh, Harv and that. She goes, oh, I love him. I said, well, you didn't want to watch it. She went, oh, yeah, but he is sweet, you know. And she said, you are a good mum. And I went, oh, thanks, Princess. I said, but I need to be more strict with you lot because I'm too laid back.
And but, I think that so come across in the show, Kate, honestly. What the most amazing mum that you are. Just incredible.
Well, I've met you like a few times and like been out for you. So, you know, I am a fun girl, but it's like I'm a mum when I need to be a mum. You know, it's
definitely.
And you, like I say to people, and my message to put across, you can live with disability. And like in the documentary, I don't treat him any different to any of the others. He has these meltdowns. I'm like, oh, whatever, Harv. Like, because I'm with him, they only show like a bit of Harv. And I didn't show it when him having a full meltdown, because it's quite distressing if you're not used to watching him. Like you saw him bang his head and that, and people were like, whoa. And I'm like, if you think that's bad, wait till you see when he gets on the ground and things go flying, like the house is haunted or something. But the show wasn't about exposing him in that way. The show was about the transitional of him turning. You can come in, Princess. I used to do that. You know, Bobby, come in. You would have seen him on TOWIE. There's Princess.
Hello.
Hello, guys. Oh, you're like twins, aren't you?
We did our fake tan last night.
Oh, I love it. I've got tan envy. I can't remember, Kate, the last time I tanned.
This is the good thing, right? So having the kids at home, they just come in every now and again. I've got to do Harvey in a bit, but I thought I won't risk Harvey because you never know what comes out of his mouth. But on a serious note, I was just saying you weren't interested in watching Harvey, and then last night you watched it, and you're like, oh, yeah. Harvey. But you're used to him, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, come here. They don't want to just see you there. Sorry, I've got Princess here.
I don't apologise.
Like, you're used to Harv. Like, tell him what he's like when he kicks off. He's a nightmare.
He's really bad.
Isn't
but,
it?
Like, you didn't put all of it in, did you?
No.
Because people would have got, like, probably upset.
Yeah, because it brings upset. But, like, how I talk, like, you're used to, like, how I talk to Harv is like how you would talk to him, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't treat him any different to you lot, do I? Like I say to him, go and get me an orange juice, massage my feet, go and do the dishwasher. Because I think a lot of people, when they got kids or whatever with disability, they sort of mollycoddle them in a different way. Where obviously it's a different relationship I have with him because, all right, see ya.
Bye. Bye. Thanks, Princess. Yeah,
sorry about that. That's all right.
Great.
But obviously, like with Princess, I mean, Princess Harvey, I've had him since I was like 22, 23, I was. The start of my career. So he's been through everything with me, came everywhere with me. I never knew all the things that would be wrong with him when he was born. So I've sort of had to build that relationship and what's the word? Resilience of being strong for him. So like the show, I just try and make it put across that it doesn't matter about his disabilities. Yeah, he's unique and he had kicks off, but still, as a mum, I want the best I can for him. And that's like I'm trying to find the college for him. And
has that happened yet, Kate? Because I know what's happened with that.
It's COVID. It's I need to visit them and you can't at the minute. But, you know, it's affecting everyone in different ways. Hmm. But luckily, he's been safe. You know, I'm not putting him out anywhere. I'm keeping him in because obviously he's one of the extremely vulnerables. But he doesn't understand COVID either. Anyone out there who's got a child with autism or adult, he loves pasta. So when it was off the shelves, he didn't understand why I couldn't get him pasta. And it's right. Like, oh my God, my house got smashed up because he didn't understand. Like, you know, you saw the holes on the walls in a documentary. He really does kick off because he don't understand. Like now he doesn't understand why he's not at school, but he's loving it because he's got me. And I'm like, oh, I need a break as well. Help me.
I want to ask you, Kate, about another man in your life, the lovely Cole.
Oh, the Miss Cole Woods. Well, I'll be soon Miss Woods, I hope.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask. I see that, apparently, are you looking to get married this year, you and Cole?
I would love to. Absolutely. This year, we want to be engaged, pregnant and married, or whatever way it is, it's going to happen. We will make sure. He's been so good for me, like, I'm so happy that he met me after the primary when I sorted my head out. And, you know, he has now met me as the best person. And if I'd met someone who, because he doesn't drink, I haven't drunk like for, well, since I've been out the primary, I have not drunk.
Wow, well done.
Nothing. And now I've forgotten what it's like to drink. And that's not like me because I'm quite sociable and stuff. And then obviously I was into the coke because I was self-medicating. Like when I look at it all now, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a completely different person now. What the hell? I'm actually embarrassed to how I've acted and stuff. But you know, it's part of mental health. You can't help it. Mm-hmm. So now I've come out, he has met me as such a good person. I had so many people saying, she won't change, you know. And I've proved it to everyone. And now everyone's seen it. Now everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon. I'm like, no, you weren't there for me before. So I'm not interested now. And that's one thing in life, whether you're up or down the ladder or whatever mental state you're in, the people who are around you, if they're still there through you for whatever stage you're in, they're the people that should be around you. You'll agree, wouldn't you, Bobby?
Absolutely.
You messaged me years ago about your mum. And although we might not always be in the same circle, we've always text behind the scenes, course, or whatever. Yeah. And it's important, you know.
Absolutely.
And now really I live in Essex, so I could see you more.
Exactly. Hey! The minute we're allowed out, we are having a night out, Kate.
Oh, so my God. What? Carnage.
The amount of times people say, are you from Essex? I'm like, no, I'm not from Brighton. What, do I look like an Essex girl? And everyone says, yes. But now I am in Essex.
We've had some fab nights out. I'm glad you're in Essex and you're one of us now. So, Kate, I want to ask, you mentioned, obviously, you'd ideally like to get married this year. Are you both actively trying for baby number 6 now?
I've already said I'm trying for baby. This is my plan. First of all, for everyone, because to change their perception of me, to know that I'm not this person the media portray me. So you can watch the documentary if you missed it on BBC iPlayer. The other gossip you want to know is, am I trying for baby? Yes, I am. We are. We've said it. Yes, we will get married. And yes, we will get engaged. And it will all happen this year.
Hey! Well, we're 1 month down already, Kate. So you've got to chop. There's a lot to do.
I know, but you can't keep like having sex thinking, right, it's going to be a baby. You've got to enjoy it, you know. But he's fantastic. And he's so good looking. I'm like, it just goes to show you there is someone out there for it. It might have taken me 42 years. I've had rehearsals, but this is the real thing.
And what kind of wedding are you hoping for, Kate? Because you've had a couple now. You've had, and they've all been a bit different, haven't they? So you've had the massive fairy tale, the Cinderella coach.
Yeah.
You've got Vegas. What's yours and Cole's going to be like?
Right, we already know what we're doing, and that's for us to know, for you lot to find out. Yeah.
We'll see it in a magazine, I'm sure. Okay.
You know I'm a shrewd cookie. I don't give nothing away. But no, I'm going to do it differently. We already know, we know everything, how we're doing it all. It's just COVID at the minute. If we could have a date now, we would, but we just, we're waiting for COVID. So don't you worry about that. Woohoo! And it's going to be forever.
We heard that you might be making a return to Loose Women as well. Is that true?
I'm actually doing Loose Women on Friday, this Friday. And this is the thing, it's crazy, because when I did Loose Women, that was at my worst. When mentally, I was so not with it, really, struggling, but I still put on, you know,
the front.
And now it's like I am myself again now. And this is when I really want to do this stuff, because I'm switched on, I'm quick, I'm just all focused with work. People are hating it because I'm so assertive now and I'm back to how I was, and they don't know how to handle me because they're like, they were so used to me for the last couple of years being down and being late for everything. And it's because I was struggling and I just never told anyone. But now I'm like on fire. People are like, Kate, calm down. I'm like, no, I want to do this and I'm going to do that.
Are you hoping to go back to Loose Women like as a panelist kind of thing then eventually maybe?
That's down to them. I mean, I don't mind. And also, there's lots going on, especially like because the Harvey stuff. Like I've just been offered more. Well, obviously, there'll be a part two to the documentary. Mencap, now Harvey and me, an ambassador for that. I mean, there's so much good things. And I suppose I want to focus. I'm lucky that I can pick and choose what I want to do. And for me, as much as I loved all the modelling and all of that, there's just no work for all of that anymore. So it's about time I'm a bit more serious. And being, you know, when you're a celebrity, I hate that word. It just goes to prove that of the trolling campaign, you can use your power to create something good. So like this online controlling, trying to make it criminal offence. It's been 3 years now since I've done a petition and we're nearly there. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to start another petition now about the sectioning, about autism, people with disabilities. It's completely different to mental health, yet they get, there's over 2,000 people with autism who are sectioned. And they're in the wrong place. They shouldn't be sectioned. So I might start a petition about that. I'm just looking into it more. And obviously, I just want to make people aware, treat us all the same. And, you know, like you, your mum's pretty terminally ill, wasn't she, your mum?
No,
as well,
she was ill. She had leukemia, thankfully. She's good now, but yeah, she was,
yeah,
really,
see,
really
good
ill.
Things
she
can happen,
absolutely.
Sorry, I keep talking. But I said to my mum, she's terminally ill, but I said, look mum, look how many people who have died since you've announced you're terminally ill who we know personally for all different reasons. I said, so you never know when your time's up. So that's why you should enjoy life. And we all die the same. We all go in a coffin. What happens in between is in between. You know, whether you've got money, no money, this, that, you can't take anything with you. So I just say, as long as you enjoy people around you and be happy, that's all you can do. Like, what else can you do? You'll always have bad cops, good cops onto you. I've had more police turn up at mine for COVID testing I'm in. I'm like, why are you here again? I'm here. They're like, because of your Instagram. We've had complaints saying that you're not at home or this and that. I'm like, well, every time you turn up, I'm here. What do you want me to do? And they said, oh, we have to follow it up.
Really? Has that actually happened? I didn't realise that actually happened.
It's the same people. There was a police van the other day. That was like last week. Same people with a police van. We're like, well, do you think we've got a party? I said, my son's extremely vulnerable. We're here. I said, you've got to stop believing people when they ring you up.
Yeah.
And I'm embarrassed turning up. But that's what happens to me. It's one thing's good and then I get a bad and good. But I'm going to do the lottery this Friday, 110 million, because everyone said, Kate, knowing your luck, you would win it. I said, that's why I'm going to do it.
Wouldn't that be nice? Kate, I want to ask you, because last time I saw you, we had a lovely... We had a lovely little sing-song together. Tell me more about the singing. Is it something you want to pursue more? Because you've always had a passion.
Oh, my God.
You're going to be a mighty hoopla, aren't you?
Right, watch this, right? This is funny. So, obviously, I muck about on Instagram. And when I said, I want to be on The Mask, I want to be on The Voice, and everyone takes the mickey out of me saying, oh, shut up, Kate, you really think you can sing? I'm like, yeah, I can actually. And they're like, well, I don't know what you hear. And I'm like, well, I'm not giving up. I'm going to do it. So I've now bought myself a studio for YouTube. So I'm going to do my like karaoke versions, acoustic versions of songs I want to do. And if you don't want to hear it, don't tap on and listen. Talk of the devil. Cole's walked in the room. Do you think I can sing, Cole?
Absolutely not.
See what I mean?
Are you still singing Whitney Houston, Kate? I know you love a bit of Whitney.
Oh, I love it. I have nothing. I love that song.
Sing us a bit of song.
I just did.
I want more.
But no, that's another thing about the YouTube. It's so good because obviously I've done reality like you for years. And doing YouTube, it's just like, I don't know why I didn't do it before. So my YouTube channel's growing. Now the kids are all doing it. Now Harvey's doing it. And now I thought I'd do my music on it. Why not? And there's all these podcasts. I mean, it's all a new bloody world at the minute. All these new things coming out. The only thing I don't do is TikTok.
Have you got a podcast? You haven't.
I'm actually doing one, three this week to see how it goes.
Okay.
Because I do talk a lot.
About what? So, what are you going to talk about? Just your life or...?
The first one, I'm going to talk with Anna Kennedy. She was on my show, about disabilities and stuff. And then so many people have written me letters wanting help or answers. So I'm going to do one around that, reading letters and getting in contact with them people to see what I can help or discuss their letters. Because I think it's good for people to know I do receive their letters. Obviously, I can't read everything, but I try my best just to acknowledge it because I don't know everything, but at least I can help and pass on what I know or try and guide them in the right way. And then I want to do one with me and my mum to talk about, if she can last 40 minutes. I've just been on the phone to her. So she's got her oxygen in now. And I'm like, do you think you'll last 40 minutes, mum? I said, because they're 40 minutes each. I said, well, I'll do a lot of the talking, but it's a chance for her to talk about what people relate to COVID, not seeing your loved ones, how she feels about Harvey, she hasn't seen him, and obviously her IPF, what it's like going through, and just a bit of people who were going through the lung stuff. Do you know what I mean? So it's a catch up with my mum. And then the list goes on.
I've got to ask you before you go, Bobby, look.
I bet they said, go on, Bobby, you can ask the question.
It's because you love me, Kate. You love me. I've got to ask you, Valentine's Day around the corner, what have you and Mr. Cole got planned?
Oh, yeah.
And it's Cole's birthday, isn't it, on the 15th?
15th. So Valentine's Day's the 14th. His birthday's on the 15th. But do you know what? What can you do? You can't go away anywhere. So I actually don't know. Maybe I'll have to cook him a meal and in. But I cook meals anyway. I actually don't know what we're going to do, but we're certainly not going to fly to Dubai, are we?
Not anymore, you're not.
No, to be an influencer. No.
You're not impressed with them?
No, but it's bullshit, isn't it, really? How many... Anyway, for me, I would rather be at home and do things properly. The thing is, you've got people out there, okay, who've lost their jobs, got no money, who are depressed, mentally depressed, thinking how are they going to get out this hole, how are they going to find another job, and what they don't need is people, no disrespect, going out to Dubai, making out their influence because they've had 5 minutes on a show or something, rubbing it in their face. They're 5 minutes, they're not even celebs. Who gives a shit? Like, I wish everyone would unfollow them all and really do a job and work. It's just unfair. I could fly, of course you can find ways to fly out, but I'm not going to rub it in anyone's face. Just it's out of order. You've got to live and breathe what you're going through. Don't get me wrong. We all want a holiday. Of course we do. But no, I'm not into that. You've got to accept what's happening, live it and breathe it together.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
If I can hire
a sunbed, if anyone's listening, he's got a sunbed place that I can hire your sunbed. Bring it to me because my sheets are getting dirty with this fake tan. God. That's what I want, and I'll have my own holiday and my own music on in the comfort of my home.
Lovely. Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining us. It's been awesome talking to you.
Thank you. Lucky this wasn't live. It's going out live. Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine, Katie.
I talk too much.
No, we love it. We love it.
You wanted. I hope you got everything out of me that you wanted. But you have me back whenever. I'll come on and have some chats.
We would love that. We would absolutely love that. So you're welcome back whenever.
Brilliant.
Okay, Kate. Thank you, babe. Dubai. Lovely to catch up. Kate's off the free throw.
Thanks, Seb.
Bye, darling.
Bye,
take
Katie.
Care. Thank you. Keep
bye.
Safe.
Love to the family.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
Blimey. It's just like a whirlwind.
I love the shout at the end for a sound bit. Only Kate.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it would be a nightmare, wouldn't it? I believe we have our next guest ready to come in. Is Jess here?
Hello,
Jess.
How are you?
It's so good. How are you? I haven't seen you for a long time.
I know, and now we're like having to do it via Zoom.
This is it now. No wines in the studio anymore.
I know, it's devastating.
How have you been?
Really well, thank you. Yeah, just I'm a bit terrible with technology, so I'm learning each day because this is what we have to do now. So I'm doing my best to figure out Zoom and all these other things, but I suppose it's a learning curve.
I mean, this is how we do our show now. You know, this is it. This is how we do it. But yeah, I mean, how's the whole kind of year been for you? I mean, everyone's taken it differently, haven't they?
Yeah, do you know what? The first lockdown, I did quite well. I went into like this zone and I was out running every day, 5Ks, and I just thought I was smashing life. This one is very cold outside. So I've been doing like Blaze from my app for the exercise thing in my bedroom. And, you know, I get through it. But yeah, I just try to keep myself into a sort of routine and wake up and do things. I think that's the best way to get through it. Take it day by day and just fill in the gaps of your routine and just do things that you can. Otherwise, it can get a bit overwhelming if you just sat there like, okay, another day.
Yeah, totally with you on that.
And I think you're so right. I've struggled a lot more, Jess, with this third one than the previous two. And I don't know if that's a lot to do with the time of year, the weather, like you say, not being able to get out as much. Like the first one back in March, April, we was really blessed with the weather and being able to run, train outside. So there has been a massive difference for me. I know you've spoken, even to me personally, about like mental health in the past. How are you coping at the moment?
Yeah, really well. And I think the thing is, what I'd learned to do is tools that got me out of that depressive state in the past, and I've made sure I stick to them like so well during the lockdown. So my meditation I do twice a day for 20 minutes, so it's 40 minutes a day, just the things that I know keep my brain in the right place, because I had it so bad back in the day. I stick to these tools, and because of that, it keeps me on track, and I would know if I was spiraling, I would know what to do now to fix that kind of mind space. And there's so many people as well, like, I don't know if you've heard of Iceman Hoff, Wim Hof.
Oh, yes, I have heard of him.
I'm obsessed with this guy and his breathing technique and the cold showers. And because I've got that all on my
skin. Do you do that? Because it's hardcore. He's jumping into frozen lakes. I'm assuming you're not doing that. But like, are you doing the kind of cold showers and all those, those kind of things?
I've actually been doing them for about 2.5 years now. And it honestly, it works. Like, I can't, it's to do with your, I mean, I've watched loads of his videos, and anyone that's listening can watch him on YouTube and his app and stuff, but I find that it takes you out of your thinking and puts you in your conscious state, because you're so cold, you have to physically breathe.
Yeah.
And when you're out of that state, I kind of feel like the stress receptors work better, whatever they are. I'm not a scientist, but it can anchor my thoughts for the day. So with that teamed with my meditation, it keeps my brain in such a good state that I can carry on through the days. And I think, you know, it's very easy in these lockdowns to be like, oh, I don't want to do anything today, I've had enough. But if you know that that's going to serve you badly, you've got to actively have self-discipline to make sure that you're doing these things that you know are going to make you feel better. And that's what I've stuck to just really religiously throughout the lockdowns.
You're so right. I think people knowing their coping mechanisms and having their go-to things is the key at the moment during these strange times we're going through.
Yeah, and I mean, mine was always the gym. I was at the gym every day because I'm obviously writing books now, so I'm on my second one. So I'd always go to the gym, do a class, do my writing for a few hours in the coffee shop, and then go back to do another gym class. And when that was taken away, I had to then adapt. But because I'd built a foundation by doing the self-discipline each day, it kind of helped me to maintain that focus these lockdowns. I mean, I haven't been, you know, I've had days where I've been like, I'm just sick of this, but I just feel it now. I don't let it get too much. I just feel it and then do the things that I know are going to make me feel a bit better.
I think routine, but both of what you're saying is absolutely spot on. And this is why this lockdown for me has been the easiest of all of them, because I've really instilled a routine into my day. Every, I mean, I have a day job, so, you know, I'm lucky in that respect, but I've, cause I did, I'm doing 100 days sober. So that takes some of the, like the irritation out of your life, you know, like just that, that general feeling. Then also, like, I'm really strict with my diet. I've been running 3 times a week. Having these things that you do on a regular basis, doing this show on a Tuesday, like, makes you feel better. And I think routine is just such a big part of it. You don't even realize when you're not, when you're out of it, that that's the way to resolve it. But really, it is the exact way to resolve.
Because we have so many distractions in our normal life. So if we're feeling a bit bummed out, we'll go off to dinner, or we'll go out for a few drinks with our friends. And because that's taken away, you've got to adapt and find the new things that can help you. And, you know, it's just, it's all about adapting, isn't it? Luckily humans can do it. I mean, it's just, I think one of the main things I've learned is the self-discipline to make sure I stick to myself.
Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, I was reading that you've been working with Luke Goss lately.
Yeah, well, that was filmed, I filmed a movie with him in LA.
It wasn't recently.
No, it was like 2 years ago.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah, COVID just took a year out, so we're just going to scrap that year. So if we forget that, yeah, close enough. But yeah, we filmed a movie together called Rhea, and I was Rhea. Luke was my love interest, and then there was Dean Cain, Superman, and Kimberly White from the Pussycat Dolls, and some other fantastic people to work with. It was just all kind of exciting because, I mean, I think you guys know that I went to theatre school my whole life before the reality TV stuff. And I just really felt like I wanted to get back to what I loved. Like, I felt I completely lost myself in I don't even know what. And I was like, there's something still missing. I need to get back to what I wanted to do since I was like 2. Like, I was doing adverts as a kid that you can see somewhere. And it was always in me. And to get back to it, I just felt really lucky. And I haven't stopped working hard for it. I've worked hard for it. I went back to acting school for adults and a nighttime school. I wanted to make sure I was pushing it and doing all the right things to get back into it. But I'm just continuously working on it. And I had a little series called The Re-Up as well, which was, it was a YouTube series that went viral. It had like 5 million views or something crazy. So hopefully after COVID that picks back up again and gets picked up by a network. So I'm just really powering through to do what I love. And I think COVID's kind of taught us all that, you know, things can be taken away at any minute. So if you're doing something you don't particularly love that much, you might as well give it a shot at something you do and see what happens.
Definitely. So would you say you've closed the door now on reality TV, Jess?
I would say when it comes to dating stuff, yes, because let's be honest, that's not my forte. failed relationship after failed relationship. But I think my, if something came along, say Strictly or Dancing on Ice, where I could learn something new, I'm all over that. Because, I mean, when would you ever get the chance to learn professional dancing with the most biggest professionals in the quick time that they do it? And the same with ice skating, and that's something you can take with you for the rest of your life. And you never know, it might help me in an acting job one day if I can start whizzing around an ice skating rink or something.
Part of I, Tonya or something that you can
I, Tonya too. I definitely wouldn't say no to anything like that, but I think when it comes to dating and that kind of thing, I have to close the door because it's embarrassing now.
Do you look back at it like that? Do you...
No, not. I don't mean like that. I meant as my personal relationship. Right, I'm not great, and I should never be giving anyone dating advice.
Fair enough.
Just when does your film that you've done with Luke come out? Do you have a date for that?
They haven't. It was supposed to be last year, but obviously we couldn't get a premiere. It was just so many complications because of everything shut down. I know it's going to be this year, and I think it will be the early part of this year. I think someone said to me before April, so that's all I know at the moment. But I will keep everyone updated.
And tell us a bit about your book.
My book? Okay, so this is crazy. So I wanted to... I've always loved writing, and I knew I had a story. And it wasn't... I didn't want to write a story about the life in the limelight necessarily. I wanted it to be true, raw and real, because I knew that there's so many chapters in there that are going to help so many other people. And I started it and just, I didn't know how to write a book. I mean, I went to theatre school, I got about 2 GCSEs and dancing. I thought this is impossible, but I didn't what I did, I sat on the internet and I would watch authors and get advice from them on YouTube. There was so many things you can find out these days. That's so I just carried on writing and eventually I got a book deal. And you know, there's so many things in there that other people can relate to. And also people didn't know about me, you know. There's so many trolls and problems with the internet. I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to be raw and real and put it out there. Because then also it's a bit of a release for me as well. Like all the things that I've gone through as a child up until adulthood, I didn't want it to be a sad story anymore. I wanted to be like, well, actually, let's switch all this around. And the reason why I called it Silver Linings was because you can take the good out of any bad. You just have to find it. And I made sure through every chapter I found that silver lining so that hopefully in the future and for many people, they'll be able to do the same. And that was my main hope for the book.
That's great. And it's, and yeah, if you can help people, I think it's the most important thing you can do in life. So, yeah, I mean,
amen.
Yeah, you use your experiences for the betterment of others. Great, great stuff.
I thought there was a reason, you know, we all go through things for a reason. And I thought maybe that's my reason, because if there's another 17-year-old or 30-year-old that's going through similar things, whether it be divorce, domestic violence, the death of a child, like all these things, I thought, why don't I put my experiences down and show what I've done to cope with all that. And yeah, I've had lovely feedback from everyone who's read it so far. And what's been nice is the DMs I've had from people saying that's really helped me look at something differently. And, you know, even if it's just one person, to me, I know that's a cliche thing to say, but if it is just one person, I've made a difference to them. That's all I want.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
And at times now more than ever, something like that is what people need.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted an uplifting thing, but also to show that, yeah, things get bloody tough, but we can get through them. And I think that's important, especially now, like you said, Bobby, it's important now to know that.
Well, Jess, thank you so much for speaking to us. It's always lovely to see you. Hopefully next time it'll be in the studio, whenever that may be.
We'll have you a glass of wine waiting.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. No, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and I hope it all goes well.
Thank you. Lots of love, guys.
Bye. Bye, darling. Stay safe, Jess.
And you.
Gorgeous girl.
Really,
impressive. Really important to be doing things that help people, like I said. And it's great that she's doing that. Like you are. I'm the only one that's not. I'm just sitting here on my Todd.
No, you're not, both. You're amazing.
I believe we have our final guest, Ricky, ready to come in. Ricky. That's my terrible Geordie accent, which is really bad because my dad's from Sunderland. I really should know better.
Oh, it's better than mine. I'm rubbish at accents.
Oh, yeah. You've got a pretty good Essex one.
All right, Rick.
How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, all sorry, good. Dad. Thank you, mate.
Got the last sip. I'm ill as hell. Ill.
Oh, really. No. It's not the cove, is it?
No. I was up drinking at the weekend. Dying.
Okay.
Dying.
Oh. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Everyone good?
Yeah, really good. Bobby was just attempting a Geordie accent and it was absolutely appalling. So,
oh, and Bobby, give us it.
I'm not very good, so please don't be offended. Go and doom tune.
See, Arith, how are you doing?
Arith. My voice is so Essex, I can't do anything. Arith, go downtown. I'm going to give up. I'm giving arms.
Yeah, seven. I think probably for the best. Ricky, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm really good.
Yeah, really good. Apart from that, mate, really good. Just plodding through lockdown, doing what we can. Apart from that, all is good. Really good.
And how are you finding this third lockdown, Rick?
Bobby, to be honest with you, I've not found the whole. Ever since March, I've found it really productive for me anyway, with doing music now and producing and DJing. I've always looked at the positive with things, and I've always trained, and now with doing music now, that's my sort of, with DJing and producing, it's all my out in release in the sense of doing everything. I've not found lockdown hard. I know a lot of people have, and I've tried to be, even getting loads of inboxes on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. Jewel have probably found yourself as well with everything. I've tried to respond to people and be as positive as I can, but for me, it's just been plodding and plodding on, and yeah, doing what I can really to take when everything goes back to normal, take it by the horns and let's go.
Absolutely.
Have you spent your lockdown alone? Because I know some people struggle with that, don't they? Have you been with family, or what's the deal?
Yeah, family. I was waiting to go back to Australia. I was meant to go back to Australia in March.
Yeah, because you basically live in Australia now, don't you? Like, well, not now, but before.
between the two, it's always between Australia and over here, really.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to be between Australia for about 9 months of the year, then be over here for all the summer doing all the gigs and stuff. That's the plan.
Be nice. Forward. Yeah.
I was there for a whole year in 2016. It was the best year I've ever had. It's unbelievable. If you've never been as well, it's the people over there, the place, the early beach, going to different PAs and stuff. Like, it's incredible, some of the places over there, the beaches, the people and stuff are really, really
I
nice.
I literally can't wait to get back to Australia. I went once a couple of years
Have
ago.
You been, have you?
Yeah, just the most amazing place. And it's kind of underrated in a way. Like, you don't expect it to be half as good as it is, right? But the lifestyle is just incredible. Like, I can see why you'd want to spend more time out there.
I prefer the daytime drinking. Bobby, you'll know, with PAs as well. I mean, I'm absolutely run ragged with PAs. It's kind of the nighttime thing. I mean, with DJing now, it's part and parcel of what comes with it, but I prefer the daytime drinking and the daytime DJing, the daytime gigs. I do. I prefer the sun. I love the sun.
Yeah.
It's Mediterranean blood coming out of us. Being Italian, I love the sun. So in the heat, Australia, it doesn't matter where you go, but obviously going to Perth, you're hitting like 42, 44 degrees, some kind of extremes over there, but it's a bit nicer towards Sydney, you're hitting around the 30s and stuff. So perfect, perfect temp.
Do you wish you would have been over there before the lockdown so you could have stayed yeah. there?
No, Bob, to tell you the truth, I mean, it's all worked out for me really nicely. With the DJ and producer side, I mean, I started DJing about 4 years ago, but since March for me, it all really sort of really went really fast with the producing side as well, with making music. And I signed a multiple track record deal with Love Another, so their sister company, Tool Room Records. So we released our first track the 15th of Jan, which is blowing up, it's going everywhere. We're getting really good response from it. And then we released another one end of March, and then we've got another one planned for the summer already with three releases planned. So it's, yeah. And that's all been since kind of Mark with the March, and it's kind of like March, sorry, with the producing kind of things. We're sort of like, I was really regimental when I came to March with training. I'm a producing, training, I'm a producing to think, right, okay, I'm going to be positive in this sort of sense, get shit done. And I think that's what you've really, really got to do as well. I know there's a lot of people that really struggled and being like, oh, well, and looked at the sort of the negative side of this sort of stuff, but it can really be positive for people. But I think for musicians and for people DJing and producing, I think it's really been a really positive time to just get some shit done and get some music done. Even though I don't think there's that many tracks getting released at this moment in time, so
there's not many parties to go dance at, is there?
Not many, no.
Lots of lounges to kitchens to dance in.
I am itching, but yeah, it'll all come anyway. It'll all come.
Now you've found your love for music, Rick. Is that definitely you ruling out ever going back to Geordie Shore?
No. Bob, I mean, right, Bobby, you'll know. I mean, how old are you now, Bob?
34,
so you're the same age as me. So when I first started doing Geordie Shore, I was 24, 25. And you'll know exactly what I'm saying about when this. You make a lot of money off doing the reality TV shows. And you sit there and you think, right, what next TV show am I doing next? And it's kind of, I kind of get lost with the reality TV stuff as well, because they're kind of sitting there going, oh yeah, I'll wait for the next big payday with the reality TV show, or I'll do the next PA. Where people kind of get lost in the sense of, what can I really get from this, and how can I really do something that I'm passionate about, or do something that I really enjoy in between those really big times that you've got doing absolutely sweet fuck all, basically. I started acting when I went over to Australia as well, and I paid 4 months, I paid for an acting coach, and I was in board, a Universal Pictures film. So as I'm getting older, it's kind of like I'm using my time more wisely to think, right, what's my passion? What do I really want to do? And that's how I tried the acting stuff, which I'll definitely go back to as well. I was supposed to be doing a film last year and a 3-part drama series in Australia. But
amazing.
My main passion now is music. I've always been one of those type of people in clubs where I've Shazammed songs for years and years and years. And I've always seen my friends DJing and stuff, and my friends always say, give it a go. And I mean, when I first started DJing 4 years ago, I remember my friend saying to me, it'll take you about two years to DJ properly. And that's not syncing tracks, that's proper DJing, proper obviously count the beat in and doing it properly. And it did. But that's just something you've got to invest your time in doing. It's something that you got to obviously, yeah, put a lot of work and hard work into it. And that's what I've done. And I absolutely love it.
And I think you're right. Maybe as well, you being the same age as me, maybe you get to a point, especially when you've done reality for like 10 years, and as much as I still very much love it and am still on the show, I think as you with music and me with presenting and working here at FUBA,
exactly.
You definitely find your passions for other things in this industry. So I completely get what you're saying. And I think what you've done is amazing. I'm so glad that you're doing something that you love. And you've never looked better. You're looking hench. I need to go and get my dumbbells.
I saw a recent picture of you recently, though, Bob. You're looking quite ripped yourself recently. Like, I think it was on Twitter. I saw it. I was like, geez, come on, son. Go on, you're looking real good, mate. Be proud of that, though. Be proud of that. So,
you know what it's like? I didn't have anything to start with. I was like a bean sprout, Rick.
When I was younger, though, you do fill out slightly when you've got to eat.
Yeah, I'm getting it, definitely. And for me, the first lockdown, as we were saying, is I needed something to focus on and stay positive and found, because I never liked training, I never really did much before, but I found a passion and loved it. Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's and not just obviously how you look, which is, let's face it, a nice bonus, but what it does for my head as well. There's nothing like that.
I think, you hit the nail on the head, though, Bob. I mean, there's a lot of people that we know in the public eye as well that they string it in one way and they string it in another way. But general consensus is you train and you do feel better after it. Mm. So, I mean, it is a positive outlook whether you do go for a run or where you train. I feel so much better after I've trained. Like, irregardless of how you look and stuff like that, you do feel better in yourself. And you know fine fucking well, if you're going to put on a top, and you feel that your arms are looking good and your belly isn't sick, that kind of stuff, you do feel better. It's the truth. So however people want to obviously go around the bush and say it one way or another, you do feel better from it. So go back to your previous answer, though. 100% I'm definitely doing reality TV again. there's two shows lined up this year. I think you're going to we're going fully in with reality TV again. Oh, so
you've got your finger in every pie.
Yeah, is that over here or in Australia? Or
One's over here and one's in Australia, So, okay. I mean, I had loads of stuff planned last year in Australia. I was so excited to go, but it kind of all worked out with the record deal and everything like that anyway. So, yeah, everything worked out for a reason, didn't it? So,
you think, I know former Geordie Shore's Joel, he's obviously doing, like, really well with the music and stuff. Do you hope that would be the same kind of thing for you, or is it not like that? Well, how do you see it?
I knew the Joel thing was going to go at some point. I mean, even with all the media that came out recently with it, it hasn't really popped up. But thing is with Joel, Joel's been DJing for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And everything he's been doing, I've done it in just a short space of time and minuscule, and I've got a multiple track record deal. And I don't even compare myself to Joel. I know how professional he is because I've done PAs with him. And I know how hard working he is, and I would never even slightly compare it myself to, not to him as of yet anyway. I'm nowhere near what he's kind of done, especially that, I mean, going from Sorry to Lonely to then Head and Heart. I mean, he's had three smash hit singles in the matter of a year. That being said, I know the work that he's put in, and I mean, I know he was doing like 60 gigs in 3 months. And I mean, I know fine well, I mean, me doing PAs, I mean, they take the toll by themselves, but when you've got to be DJing, doing two PAs a night, and then you've got to be traveling and then doing sets. And that's the thing with us DJing now as well. You've got to plan the sets to make sure that you're going to smash it for that certain nightclub as well. There's a lot of thought process that goes into it, and I know how much he put into it as well for years and years and years and years and years. And he had that break with Perfect Havoc, with the Sorry track. And then obviously Atlanta came along and then signed him on that mega deal. So
see one track, don't you, that is the thing that like breaks you through. So, I mean, it could happen at any time, I guess.
Yeah, I've signed with these guys now for a kind of few tracks, so I ain't going anywhere unless a mega, mega money come in. But I'm happy where I've got a really good team around me, as Joel will have a really good team around him at this minute in time with Atlantic Records. I'm happy with the team I've got, Love Another. Absolutely fantastic, because it's a tool room team I've got around me as well at the minute. So it's kind of, it's just exciting, man. I'm just enjoying it.
Is there any potential collabs, Rick, between you and Joel? Can you see yourself collabing?
you never say never, Bobs. I mean, I don't know. He wouldn't look to collab with anyone at this minute in time, regardless of who I am or who anyone else is. I don't think, like, he's on his own path, and I think he's doing, especially with me DJing and producing now, it's kind of, he's on his own thing. I thought, and fair play to him as well. I wouldn't ever expect him to anyway. So apart from when I start producing them, the one single. Then he'll come back. Me and the big doggies then.
Well, let's play your track out. Do you want to intro it?
Yeah, so this is Ride With Me by obviously myself and Emily Williams. Yeah, it's our first single with Love Another. Hope you enjoy it.
I see changes in my life, all the people going in and out of sight. So much beauty signifies all the happiness that's going on inside.
Nice guy.
Really is, isn't he? Lovely man.
It's one of those things with like Geordie Shore I actually went, I think I may have said to you before, I went to the Geordie Shore house and stayed there once for a press thing.
And how was it? Filthy, because I hear by the end of a series, it's the grimmest place on earth.
Well, you know what's interesting is that, so it was all the Geordie Shore cast, and this was back when Vicky was in it, Charlotte, you know, it's like, right, probably second or third series maybe. And the journalists outdrank the cast of Geordie Shore.
That's what you journos are like. You love it.
It was
that
just
Kylie wine comes out.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, give it up. I'll have another one of those proseccos. We all had dinner around the table and everything. It was incredible. But the Geordie Shore cast were like, we've had enough. We were like, come on, we're ready for more. Yeah, so, you know, back in the day. I don't think Ricky was there, actually. I remember I spent a lot of time hanging out with Charlotte and Vicky. I mean, crazy to think about now, because I don't even think they're friends anymore. But like, you know, like different time and that. And yeah, it's nice to see them doing well, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, it really is. I can imagine that was an experience and a half, though. Because that's always the thing people say to me, because it's the same production company that made Geordie and Terry. And they go, well, if there ever was a merge, could you live? And I've heard so many things about the state of it that I don't think I could. I would be forever with the Windoline and the Pledge, and I would be getting the Sephora out.
But that's good. That could be part of the story, Bob. If you
maybe
would...
that's what they need. They need Bobby in there cleaning up,
like a maid figure. You could have a little outfit and everything. Just going
Kim Woodburn,
with some yellow things with pearls at the end. Yellow rubber gloves. I can see it, Bob. I can see it. Yeah,
I'll
I mean,
have to practice the accent before though.
Yeah, true. I mean, I don't think you're going to win any awards there, Bob, but, you know, no. You could still...
Paul Rick looked shocked when he heard me try it.
I think he was trying to wondering what the hell it was you were trying to say, to be fair.
I think we were seconds from him cutting the Zoom off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
don't know what happened there. No, great show, though, and nice to have three very chatty guests on and to have Katie be so in such good spirits, wasn't it?
Yeah, lovely show. Really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I guess until next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, guys. Stay safe.